Hello and welcome to Equine Voices Podcast. My name is Ronnie, an intuitive equine communicator. I hope you enjoy this episode and thank you for listening.
Shortly introduce Pat. She's a ball of energy, We had a quick chat yesterday, so I'm just going to bring her in. So before we talk about your past stories that you want to share with us, can you just explain a little bit about who you are and what it is that you do with horses, please.
Well, I'm like everybody else. I love animals, and I always wanted to understand how to build better relationships with them. My animal of choice, one that I think I was just inherently attracted to, has been horses. I was crazy about them when I was in school. Ever since I was a little kid on my mom's lap, a cow was a horse. So growing up in Canada, I had great opportunities out in the bush to ride bush horses. And then I met my first major riding instructor, who was from France and a graduate from the military school at Saumur. From there, I learned the science of hippology and went on to become an actual professional rider. My choice of competition was three-day eventing. And so I have a background in dressage, jumping, long-distance riding. And I discovered that even though I was a very well-educated horse person, my horses were falling apart. And it didn't matter what I did according to the system that was right, it was always wrong. And so being a little bit intuitive from birth, I started listening to myself and listening to what my horses were trying to show me. And it just opened up a series of doors that educated me in the gifts of the energetic equine and the intuitive horse trainer. And it's taken me through my life and produced a research or an investigation into how we can use natural resources, energy, and the role of the human energy system, our intuitive connection with the telepathic horse, to actually prepare them for riding, to prevent injuries and have, you know, behavior problems using energy and genetics. And so I'm recognized as an international intuitive, veterinary intuitive. I have credentials. I'm certified in 12 different holistic and energy-based therapies. I have studied unified field physics. Gee whiz. I have a long history. I've been doing this for over 40 years. And now we can work with just about every problem that a horse or a dog has and do so by looking at its conformation, how the energy of nature moves through the animal's body, the impact of birth trauma. So I founded the Balanced Horse Project in 2000, and I moved from Canada to the United States, where I have a horse farm, and people send their horses to us for problem solving and taking young horses in to prepare them so they have symmetrically balanced bodies so they can go on and have great lives and not have conflict with people. So I don't have a real description other than I am an intuitive, energetic horse trainer.
I'm just going to explain to the viewers that we literally met yesterday. We had a conversation yesterday, didn't we? You made me laugh so much. I only messaged you a few days ago about doing an interview, and you got back to me pretty much straight away, which was amazing. So,
well, you know, staying connected to people, and especially to find like-minded people, is really important, because at least where, in my experience in the professional horse world, the idea of the holistic system of the telepathic horse, science of interactive energy that takes us into unified physics, or the spirituality of the chakra system of the human and how does that influence the aura field of the horizontal horse. I mean, these things should be discussed, and I get very frustrated because I work in a world that is focused on empirical science, where everything is isolated states, nothing interacts, and therefore, you know, talking about energy and perhaps interaction of consciousness between different species is like it's just a little too much. So, so I value any opportunity to reach out and interact with other people who have intuitive interactions or interests with nature and other species of life.
I think people are asking more questions. The intuitive side is becoming more aware, and people are asking questions, and they're not just sticking to the mainstream what they're used to. But obviously, if it's the medical side, they do tend to do that, which is, you know, I always say to my clients, if you're really worried, you speak to a vet, because that's what you have to say anyway. And if it's a medical thing, but if it's to do with emotional or anything like that, then I can go along, but you have more depth, so you can talk more about that. Explain a little bit more about when you talk about the energy. So how, in layman's terms, so somebody that doesn't know anything about that can understand
situation, and then I'll walk you through the dynamics from my perspective and understand.
I tell you what, so laminitis in the UK, because the grazing that they have is quite rich, and so that we have a lot of problems, especially sort of spring, where horses are getting laminitic.
There's different reasons for. Okay, take this as subjective, because I do have a veterinarian degree, and these are the things that I have experienced as a horse trainer on a personal level. Also an intuitive energetic level. Okay. So the earth produces food, and the food has minerals in it, and those minerals are conductive, and they go into the animal's body, our bodies, and they are the elements that transport the electrical system. So if you just stay from the brain, part of the brain, and out to the body, so that's an electrical system. It's a circuit. We forget that the bones are made out of calcium, and calcium is actually a metal. So calcium is also really conductive. The fluids that really help to transport this energy or this conscious signal of life through the body are the hormones. We have horses that are being, and I'm sorry if I sound like an anti-vaxxer, but just bear with me. There's a reason. Okay. The pituitary gland is what drives the hormone system. And when we start to do a lot of vaccinations in animals, that pituitary gland can actually get contaminated. And then there's a link in the brain between the pituitary and the pineal gland. And the pineal gland takes in the information from the environment. So if the pineal gland and the pituitary gland are basically interrupted from synthetic binders or just micro nanoparticles of medical metals like mercury, it starts to calcify and shut down those signaling systems. And so now we get this condition called Cushing's. So in my experience is, if I start to detoxify the function of the brain, open up the flow of hormones and increase the conductivity of the horse's body, then the system starts to want to kickstart and cause this restoration of all the problems of the horse's body. It doesn't have to just be like a founder. The other problem that may cause a founder in horses, and this one I find very, very common, and it's a naturally produced situation. And again, it goes back to the electrical system of the horse, or even the person if you have gout. Okay, number one is your conductive value, the ability for energy to move through the body. Is it at a good state? Because basically the body is a battery. We're solar panels.
Oops, we've lost you. Oops. Can you still, Pat, we've just lost you, the connection. So you've just frozen. Let's hope we can get you back. Okay. So you were talking about how good the conductive through your body, the
okay. So that conductive value of the body is like keeping a battery charged. The energy has to move from the higher points to the lower points of the horse's legs through the calcium, which is a metal, which conducts energy, and it goes down. But if you go and look at the chest of a foundered horse, is it symmetrical? And if it's not symmetrical, that means that the distance that the electrical signal has to move down each leg is different.
Okay, yeah.
So you're going to get some horses that will build up a lot of acid in a foot because the electrical current that has to discharge into the ground is slow. It's moving too slow. There's a block. There's resistance. Or it's moving at a different speed or frequency than the energy going down all the other legs of the horse. So this slows the energy down on one leg or maybe two. Maybe the knees are twisted. Maybe the elbows are out of place. Could be the withers, you know. Just look. Just take a picture. Take your cell phone. Take a picture of your horse's chest when it's standing still. And then put it in, I don't know, say Word document and take and draw lines. And is the horse correct? Symmetrical in his chest. So these shutoff points can cause an acid buildup. And when acid builds up, what does acid do if you put it on a tissue paper? It eats the tissue paper. Mm-hmm. So that's really what the acid buildup in the horse's foot is doing. It's starting to try to find a way to either be neutralized by alkalinity or find an escape route because the body's trying to push it out because it needs to survive. And so we get all this buildup in the foot because it's not grounding. It's too acidic. It can all be reversed. Now, I work in energy frequency, so I have worked on a lot of horses with founder. And the first thing I do is make sure that I have them as structurally aligned as possible. I re-alkaline their systems. And then I will drive the circulation through the foot using either a magnet or I'm backed up with red light therapy.
Okay.
I just reverse the process. But you don't get founder in horses who are biomechanically symmetrical. Well, listen, I worked with a homeopathic vet. He just passed 2 years ago, and he was my mentor for years and years and years. And we would have these philosophical debates because he was very much into physics and homeopathy, and I was very much into natural. I understand how energy moves without artificial interventions. And we would have these debates, and he would talk about, well, if I give this homeopathic remedy and we trim the horse this way, and I'm like, yes, this is all good. And then all of a sudden the horse's foot will fracture open on the wall or the coffin bone will come through on the bottom. And he's like, oh, we need to put the horse down. And I said, no, you don't. I said, if you're not using a pharmaceutical, you won't attract a lot of infection. We just put it in the boot with some Epsom salts. I'll put red light energy on it. Guess what? That foot cracked at the quarter on one horse, cracked at the corner and peeled all the wall off. And normally this is where you put a horse down because, you know, dirt and everything. So we just kept a boot with Epsom salts and water. I put lights on it and I just made sure that the horse was kept structurally correct. Guess what? We had no infection because we didn't change the pharmaceutical. We didn't add a pharmaceutical or a disinfectant. There's a reason why we didn't get infection is because the pharmaceutical or the synthetic materials that we sometimes use, they don't support the electrical conductivity that's needed to bring the tissue of both sides of a wound together. They shut down the conversation of energy in the body. So we didn't use any disinfectants or anything, and I just drove energy through the horse's foot. the hoof cracked open because this horse re-rotated the internal structures of the foot. I think he shifted 7.5 degrees at the coffin bone to come to a normal balance. That's just one horse. I have another horse that came in with high-low syndrome, and he was not foundered. We stripped the shoes off of him. I detoxed him for 3 weeks, and then I went in and I did my craft, and my craft is basically rebirthing the horse's body so it can restore its natural alignment and its natural symmetry. When I did that, oh my gosh, I'm glad I took pictures. The horse's foot in 48 hours shifted 20 degrees. Yeah, it took 6 weeks for him to come back sound. He completely grew matching two matched feet instead of high-low syndrome. His shoulders altered. His whole body shifted just from one training session at the Balanced Horse Project. So this is where I've studied all kinds of therapies. I mean, wow, you know, I had to learn all the things. As a horse trainer, I was really trying to just say, look, I can't afford to have my vet come out every time I come home from a horse show. You know, when you have like 10 to 13 horses on the show circuit, that's a lot of money going out the front door. And sometimes you don't come home with a paycheck. So, you know, you have to be kind of thrifty. And that's where I started self-educating and going out and learning things. And I started my learning process in 1975. Okay. It just kept growing, but I was always looking for this permanent, what is the permanent solution? You know, like, I want my horse to stay fixed, please. I can't keep looking at them and being empathic, you know, kind of go, oh gosh, I can't handle this. So that's where I stopped, because I found that the holistic therapies were just like the allopathic interventions. They support a positive change, but then when you put the animal back into stress, it collapses. And that told me that we weren't addressing the source of the problem.
So you wanted to go to the cause, not the symptom of.
As a horse trainer, or just a person that looks at humane care and treatment of animals, I can't get on a horse and know that all I'm doing is masking their dysfunction and going out and asking them to work and then come home and watch them kind of go into decline. I can't ethically do that. So yeah. As that type of person, okay, now I like riding, don't get me wrong, okay? But I wanted a permanent answer. Where's the permanent answer? Stopped all my therapy. And my clients were going, well, why aren't you doing, you know, all these therapies anymore? And I said, because I want to get down to the solution so we don't have to do it. Yeah. Can we just go and make the horse right and never have a problem? And that's what the Balanced Horse Project, the investigation that we've been doing, geez, we actually started in 1990. It became a formal investigation in 2000. We figured it out.
Can you explain what so the rebirthing is? What exactly is that? So if you can explain.
Okay. Everybody's crooked. You know, when you get older, you start talking to people and go, oh, yeah, I had my left knee replaced and my right hip replaced. And then I had to have neck and back surgery. And, you know, or you have one foot that's bigger than the other if you go to buy shoes, or sometimes you have calluses on the heel on one foot and a callus maybe on the ball of your foot, you know, like your opposite. So I had a horse come in from Oklahoma, and her name was Liberty, and we called her case the fractured foal. She was actually a breech birth baby. The vets out in Oklahoma, which is 900 miles away from where I live, said there was no hope for this horse. And the owners read an article that I had published in the Holistic Horse magazine, I think in 2006. So 6 years later in 2012, they have found my article about birth trauma in foals. What would happen if we could control the development of conformation in horses from the very beginning of life? Well, the next thing you know, and this is where the intuitive empathic part comes in. These people are 900 miles away. They send me pictures of this very twisted little baby, which you can find on the Balanced Horse Project. You just scroll back to like 2010, 12. I think it's 2012 she's on. It's Liberty the Fractured Foal. She was so crooked that it took her 5 hours to pull her tongue into her mouth. They had to lift her up to nurse off the mare. And that was in the first 24 hours. I mean, I said, I don't know how to fix this. And I just got this intuitive direction that I was supposed to move forward and see if we could help. So I took the pictures and I asked for direction, my guides or my higher self. Or maybe the horse itself said, this is what you need to look for. I went and I looked at all the trauma points I could find on the pictures. And I came up with an exercise where we just took a sheet and wrapped it around the foal. They took and passively pulled on the sheet, let go. And before we know it, the foal's standing up, her legs are pulling in, her body is less compressed and twisted. And within 24 hours of that moment of intervention, she was able to go and nurse off her mom. And she grew up, and I worked with her for a year and a half to see if we could learn more about the presence of trauma in newborn horses, and really, how does that affect how they grow up? And can we modify our training programs so that we're not trying to make crooked horses do things that they can't do because they're not straight? And we think they're straight, and our riding doesn't do it. So that was my first encounter. The intuitive part came in. And it was kind of really important for me to have this experience because, you know, people go, oh, that's all. Yeah. And, but here we are 900 miles apart. And Julie, the lady who owned the horse, she's saying, okay, well, I'm touching the horse here. And I could literally feel the trauma in my own body when I just meditated on it. And then she started touching the horse and I could actually tell on my own body where she was touching. And I could say, okay, well, this is where you need to put your hand. And now I want you to push harder. And she was like this, thinking I'm seeing through a video. And I'm like, yeah. No, I said harder. She says, well, how hard? I said, well, keep pushing and I'll tell you when it's enough. And then I would get the feeling and I would tell her, okay, that's good enough. She says, are you feeling me touch the horse? I went, yes. And she goes, how does that work? So, you know, if I hadn't have been open to exploring myself, wouldn't have happened. Yeah. There is a point and a purpose every time somebody faces a challenge. And horses, I think, are here to help open us up and mm-hmm. give us permission to expand our awarenesses. Because I really do think that humans are extremely amazing individuals. You know, like you can talk about, you know, our athletics or our intellectual capacity, but I think we go far beyond that. I really do. So that's why I pursued what I was doing from an energetic, empathic perspective, basically let go of the holistic approach to applying therapies. Because if I can go and unwind the trauma in a horse's body when they're like at a year old to 2 years old, that horse goes through life and he is interested in learning and being a partner, and he doesn't have the serious injuries that other horses get. And when he does, his energy system is so correct that they go and heal twice as fast than a normal horse. So it's just amazing when you turn your horses on by reversing the spin or the twist of birth trauma.
That's amazing. So do you find when you're, when you've done this with the horses that you've treated, do you find that you don't have to see, do you keep in touch with them, or you find that you don't actually have to see them, or do you get to know what happens?
I don't have to see most horses. I started, okay, so you take a hypothesis, an idea, okay, and you go, how do I take the hypothesis, create a theory, and from the theory, produce enough facts to say that the theory is a philosophy, and apply the philosophy? All the words.
You've nearly lost me there.
Okay, sorry. So how do you take an idea and prove it to the rest of the world that it's right? So I took, when I moved from Canada to United States, I moved to Alabama because the land taxes here are cost effective. I can afford to own land in Alabama. Okay. I had been working as an equine integrated sports therapist. A lot of my clients were high-end riders, and they had all these cast-off horses. They didn't want to send them out to the meat man, so they gave them to Pat, because Pat's a therapist. Pat can look after the horse, Pat. And I thought, well, everything for a reason. So I just started taking in all these cast-off horses. I've had Olympic horses in here. I have a $65,000 reining horse. I have a $100,000 retired dressage horse. I have race horses, cutting horses. I have ponies. People gave me all these cast-offs. All these horses. I had three horses come in out of state under euthanization orders because they had been aggressive with humans and were considered public safety hazards. And I will tell you that they were all lame, all had dead-end prognosis. They became my crash test dummies, and they showed me intuitively how to address their primary problem. And the primary problem is they're out of balance. They know it. They can show us what they need us to do. Every horse is a little different, but I just started fixing wrecks. And people still think I'm a therapist and not a horse trainer, but I had to fix the broken horse to prove that the first injury of the body shuts down the energy system so that the genetic information in every cell is not nurtured or not released so that it can activate rapid restoration of damaged tissue. So now I work with horses that walk sideways in circles, horses that have neurological imbalances, limitations, like shivers and string halt and all the things we're told we can't. I just apply a series of very specific exercises that I developed after working on my first 21 wrecks. All 21 horses, by the way, returned to soundness. I had one horse that had high ring bone on the pasture and who did not completely restore because he had pre-existing calcium deposits. However, he was sound enough to go out and gallop around in the herd. So it's a delight every morning to get up and have my coffee and look out the window and watch 21 horses who are supposed to be dead out there running around, bucking and jumping and totally fine. You know, it kind of makes you go, okay, there's a lot of people that really need to know about this. So I'm interested in what's the source, not the symptom. So if you have a horse with a stifle problem, that's not the problem. That's the symptom. Okay. Where is the source that physically overstressed the stifle? Let's go there. That's what I want to do. And then can I turn on the switches in the horse's body so that it can use its own information and resources to self-correct? And then I just stand back, turn them out, watch them. And I mean, some of these horses will switch on and self-restore in 24 to 48 hours. The body differences are amazing. I had a standardized floor. I made lines on the floor and standardized a wall. So I had gradations on the wall, and we would put paper on the wall and do back tracings with a horse standing as square as possible. And then we go and do these exercises, and nobody would believe me. Okay. Seriously. Nobody believed me. And I have owners come and watch, and they go, that doesn't happen. Like, okay. And we're taking pictures, and they're looking at the picture. That doesn't happen. I'm like, okay. So how much proof do you need? I've had horses that when we rebirth them in these exercises, these training and balance exercises, they get taller. The most height that we've gained is 2 inches, 2.25 inches. That horse gained height in 3 days. That's unheard of. I mean, so don't send me borderline ponies that you want to stay pony, because I have them over your 14-2 hand. Okay. I've had horses unwind lengthwise, and they've gained 8 inches in length in 30 minutes. And I was so excited. I used to tell people about all these things. And my friends just said, would you quit lying? And I'm like, I'm not lying. Go look at the horse, you know? And then they would tell their friends, and their friends would come back on them and say, you can't say that. That's impossible. Science says that doesn't happen. So here's the deal. So to kind of back up my direction of thinking that our first injury is birth trauma. And if we went back and looked at that and addressed it, we would get a different horse to ride or a different dog to play with, you know? And when Liberty was staying with me, they did bring her over when she was, I think, a 2-year-old, and she stayed with me for a couple of weeks. So they drove the crooked horse from Oklahoma to Alabama. They left her here with me to do some pictures and, you know, get good information. I'm trying to validate it by collecting serious data, you know, because I'm making extraordinary claims. So anyway, I have my husband. This is radical. I put tape down our paved driveway and made it straight. And then I asked my husband to walk the crooked horse down the tape. And I tried to videotape the placement of the feet so you could see if she was walking sideways or, you know, if there was any compensation in the motion. And then I kind of picked the camera up, and here's, this sounds terrible, but here's the horse walking down the driveway and my husband walking down the driveway. And beside my husband is a dog walking down the driveway. And I'm going, well, look at that. They all have the same biomechanical twist. Just stand still. I took a picture of all three of them. And I went, okay. I looked at them in the computer and I went, oh, how do you get three different species? And they all have the same pattern. What is the common denominator? It's a birth twist, birth injury. Uh-huh. And shortly after that, a paper came out. Well, actually, it was before that. The paper actually was published in 1997, I think. And I'm not sure if it was in Practical Horseman or Equus. But anyway, it was a paper written on birth trauma, and the author of the paper, I believe, was Dr. Hessop out of Australia. He wrote a lovely article on birth trauma. And then I backed up the study, the original study that was written by Daniel Jean, J-E-A-N, Jean, Jean. Okay. And she was at the University of Montreal in Quebec, France, or Quebec, Ontario, sorry, Quebec. Montreal and Quebec. can tell I'm Canadian. Can't even get my provinces right. Anyway, so she had a grant. And this is how hidden this kind of investigation is. She had a grant to compare radiology to the brand new idea of using ultrasound for investigating and getting images in the human body. The study used neonatal foals. Some of these foals had passed away, so they're using the bodies of newborn foals. And they put them through the radiograph and they put them through the ultrasound, and they determined that the ultrasound produced a better image. That's what her grant was for. But she wrote a secondary paper and she noted that over 65% of the foals that they put through had birth trauma in the front quarters. And the birth trauma in a lot of these bodies was extreme. Some of these, multiple fractures of the ribs, dislocation at the joints of the legs and the shoulders, the spinal deviations, and in some cases, it was the cause of death. Then she goes on to say that most of the fillies had a greater amount of injury on the left-hand side than the right-hand side. Now, when somebody, and she couldn't justify why there was a difference, and I don't know, maybe it was just the way it happened. She went on to say that the fractures of the ribs were not at the top, at the spine, not at the top of the spine. They were down about an inch to an inch and a half above the condylocostal joint, which is the seat where the base of the rib anchors into the little bridge that comes off the breastbone. Mm-hmm. So there's a pre-existing injury in every animal that's born, every animal that comes through a birth canal. That report was sent out to all the major veterinary universities in the industrialized world. It should come out to the people who are putting their lives and their family, their children at risk on riding horses that are defending themselves against a pre-existing injury that's causing the development of their body to be lopsided. And so when we try to ride them and channel them through our legs or, you know, bring them into a posture of self-carriage and elevation if you ride dressage, but he's got high-low syndrome in his feet, or he's one-sided when you bend him, or he can't hold his canters, you know. If you knew your horse was crooked at birth and you could do something about it so that they never, ever had to have mechanical training or artificial interventions to mask the condition, would you do something about it?
Yes, absolutely.
So this is the depth of awareness. I waited and asked a couple of very knowledgeable veterinarians if they would bring it forward. I never heard back. So I decided to take this on, and instead of making it a therapeutic or a medical approach, I would take it on as a grassroots application for people who own and work animals to prevent situations. And it's taken me down some pretty interesting rabbit holes. It's a very important conversation that I don't want it to go into therapy or into medicine, because then it will go back under license. And if it goes under license, you and I won't have an opportunity to be preventative and look after our animals. Now, I'm not saying that veterinarians don't have a role in animal care. I really do think they are an important part of it. But there's the right time and the right place. And as I can see, we need some help. When I did the statistics on birth trauma, you know, the horses send me these feelings, or, you know, I'll just stand there and ask the horse and he'll touch his body and show me where he needs help. Okay. And then I try to talk about these things And the mainstream horse world is going, oh, she's just kind of an intuitive, creative. And yet they keep sending me their horses. And I'm like, okay, I'm an intuitive creative. There's real science behind what I am offering. Yes. So now I've taken the abstract of an intuitive clue, a path in life to investigate. And it's taken that abstraction and actually energetically unfolded it into physical reality. And now we have the science to back up the statements.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, how special is that? That's amazing.
That's amazing. It's amazing. But to get heard and to do what you do now and get results and to have feedback from people that wouldn't necessarily, unless they've seen it with their own eyes sort of thing, believe in it. Yeah, that's amazing. I've got, my head is just is digesting.
I can take you down any rabbit hole. You just point me and I can go there, you know. It's a new science of horsemanship.
So when you work with the horses, do you work with a similar thing for your clients? Because obviously if they're twisted. So if you sort the horse out and the horse is okay, and then you've got somebody that rides the horse again and they're twisted,
if your horse is if the base of the horse is balanced, symmetrical, yeah. Doesn't matter how twisted the rider is. Actually, if you go back in history, and they actually still do, humans who rode horses were healthier than humans that didn't ride horses, because the lateral correct movement, okay, if both sides of the horse is equal from the head, the spine, down to the feet, if everything is in place and you sit on it, it's going to actually move you so that your body will actually relax and start to release itself. So that's where the therapy of hippotherapy comes from, because they don't want like an old horse that drags himself around. You know, they are looking for horses that engage the hindquarters and drive forward into the withers. Their client is then getting the correct motion from the horse, and that exercises the rider's muscles correctly. And if they have structural deviations, it helps to relax the tension, the spasms, so that the body can self-correct. So that's a physical energetic interaction of direct contact. But what happens if there's no direct contact? Situations where I am reversing the spin of birth in a horse, and they're usually pretty good sized horses. They're about 16.3 to 17.2 hand horses. Mm-hmm. And the owner will be standing in front of the horse. And when I unwind the horse, there is a power surge. Okay. And it runs through the body of the horse, and the frequency change, the energy change, comes out through the horse's chest. And I have seen electrical shock, a bolt of energy, come out of a horse's chest and hit the owner in the heart chakra and throw them back 15 feet. And they're sitting in the dirt in the arena in tears with vertigo and cannot stand up for 25 to 30 minutes. Well, that happened to a girl who was actually a PhD she was a pathologist. Okay.
I wasn't expecting that.
Okay. And when you stand in the horse's energy field, the horse's energy is not in harmony. So you have say, piece of music, it flows and it's harmonic and it's delicious and it invites your energy to participate. And so you start dancing and having a good time. Okay. When it's not that and you want to plug your ears, okay, shut down and you hold yourself because it's screeching fingernails on a chalkboard, just really, ooh, okay. And when I take the potential of beautiful music, the life force of a horse, and I release the place where it's screechy and the surge of trapped energy comes through the whole energy system of the horse and it moves from the hindquarters to the front quarters and right out the front door at the chest, and you're standing in that energy field. Think, a horse's heart is huge. It produces an EMF field, a electromagnetic field. And it could be like offset, say, offset over here. Well, when I bring it to the center and it goes, it envelops, it goes through your own energy field. It goes through your physicals, your physical. And so if the wave of energy that's now coming through is coherent, resonant, in harmony, beautiful music of the life force, and it's moving through you, do you think it would affect you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So that's how long distance healing works.
Yeah. Yeah, you've explained that really well. Here we go. There's a few comments. So this is a message from Jane. This all makes sense. Very interesting. We need more science to be published to help our work as healers.
It won't be published.
This is Jane. I mentioned her yesterday when we were chatting. She's a healer.
Okay.
So she works on a cellular level and she her energy works through her, whatever the energy comes through. And she does work. She has worked with vets and sometimes she'll go see animals that are passing over. So she'll go with them and assist. And vets have asked for her, but they're not allowed to, not officially, but they do.
Yes. So this is why I love doing kind of these types of conversations. And I have a small group of people that are following me and we do intermittent courses. My frustration is this, is that I have over 20 years of data and I can't get it published in the horse magazines because they are afraid that their sponsors will sue them, that the veterinary associations will sue them, because the data and my statements are not empirically approved by a peer review board. So I can't get it in front of a peer review board because the work was not done by a PhD or an accredited lettered person. And I funded it all by myself.
That's an achievement in itself.
So if it's not in the university system, but we have a paper, a document that was sent to all the teaching veterinary schools in the industrialized world. And if you ask your vet, they may actually be able to tell you about that study. But they're not teaching anybody else about it.
No.
And they're not using it. They're not using it. Kind of frustrates me because I think we're all here to do the best for our animals and for each other. Mm-hmm. And I would like to see the information grow, but I can't get it published. I can write articles. I've written articles for two major horse magazines in North America, and they cut out all the data. And they make it sound like it's a kindergarten piece.
Yeah.
You know, and I talked with my mentor who is a homeopathic vet. He was actually more than a homeopathic vet. He was very intuitive in his own right, and he used dowsing to work with his clients over the phone. He said the same thing. He says, I can't get my stuff published either. They spent 15 years trying to pull his license for doing holistic and natural care. Oh, yes. He had 5 different lawyers for the different states that he actually did long distance work in because they are not aligned. A holistic practitioner is not aligned with the business model. And this maybe gets into politics, but it's, I call it the lame horse in society because it's not about fixing the horse. And I am about fixing the horse because I'm training the horse. So the horse trainer science is not compatible with the veterinary science because the veterinary science is a completely different outlook. It's non-energetic. The horse is unconscious. Let's see. It's isolated effects. Whereas I'm training a horse, I'm working with the dynamics of balance, symmetry, the energy that has to go through that horse's body to accomplish this. So I'm working in a holistic system. I'm working in my vertical energy stream. How does it interact on a perpendicular level with a horse's horizontal energy stream? So that I can have an interaction that is wordless, motionless. And it's from the breath and the intention. That's the way we used to ride.
Yeah.
So how do I get that as a horse trainer? It's a holistic science. It's take all your physics, take your shamanic, your older, systems and go back to them because that's where you're going to find the truth of your animal is in those systems. I think if you have a car, hang on. Good girl, Piper. My dog is keeping the horses off the gate. The horses are going, I'd like to come in.
Are in front of you. The horse is in front of you.
So you have two different perspectives. So if I'm in a car accident and I need somebody to stop an artery from bleeding and I'm stitched up and please put some pins or something in my bones, yeah, I'm there. But I just think we could be using the horse and the genetics and the energy sciences of like epigenetics to validate what we as horse people have known for centuries. And right now we've allowed our knowledge to be taken and people have lost their confidence and lost connection with themselves and with nature. And that's where I think horses are awesome for helping people therapeutically because they open us up. They ground us.
Very much in the moment and very, very honest. They're very honest with you.
Yeah. And you know, for some people, horses actually teach people how to love.
Absolutely. You know?
And that's hard to explain to somebody that's never really seen a horse or is terrified. But if you bring them in and we have people come in here and, you know, they may have PST. And the trauma from war. I'm sorry. Yeah, okay. And they're terrified. I have people come in, film crews come in, and they're terrified of the horse. And the next thing you know, my horses are so still emotionally because they aren't in pain. They're not afraid of their body. So they interact with you very differently than a horse that's still working with birth trauma. So these horses are mentally grounded and still, and they are on the same intellectual level as a human being, I swear. And then Rain would, my big Frisian cross mare, she'd come in behind this one guy who was terrified of horses, and she just stood behind him while he was filming. And he reached out and he started patting the horse. He didn't realize that he was patting the horse. Because when he first came in, he was like, will they bite? Will they kick? You know, will he run over? And next thing you know, he's patting the horse. And so when he finished filming, I said, look at you. You're not afraid of horses at all. And he looked at Rain and he went, you know?
That's amazing.
We internally sense the insecurity of others. And humans are natural healers. I don't like using the word healer because it then puts it in the context of, you know, medical. And I'm trying to say that's one side of it. But we interact with these horses and we instinctively know and sense their fear and their anxiety. The problem is that we aren't given tools. How do we address what we're picking up in others?
You're not taught that. No.
And so that's why I really focus on the energetic and the intuitive side of, like, when I teach a riding lesson, it's quite unique. and I teach these courses for people to reach out and become more intuitively engaged with horses, because I do have people that are sincerely interested in taking this forward. And they write me back and they went, you know what? We're only on week 3 and you've already changed my whole perspective of life and things in my life have changed. And I'm like, okay, it's working. It's working.
That's amazing. I had a chat, Justin Dunn, a gentleman, I had did an interview with him. He was my first interviewee, bless him. And he does therapy for the veterans with his horses.
Oh, and, yes.
And he used to work for kids with cancer. He used to work at a summer camp where they take the kids riding and they get to spend like lots of time with the horses and interacting, which he loved. But he said he found that because there was lots of people around and they've all got an opinion and they're all asking questions, it interflowed with the actual flow from the child and the horse. And he's, so now when he does the veterans, he says, I don't want talking. I just want them to interact. Mm-hmm. So even if something was happening and he said to somebody else, this is what's happening now. He said, that's an interruption. He says, so we don't do that at all. We just allow the total process of the veteran and the animal. And we don't interrupt because they're in that moment, they're in that zone, and nothing around them exists because they're totally in that moment. And that's the most precious thing to see is that change before your eyes, and you can feel the energy. Because it says you can feel the change, because sometimes you can't visually see, or people think they can't visually see, but there's a subtle, like the calm before the storm. It's almost like that stillness, and you know there's been a change. So even though physically you can't see it, there's been a change in some form. But that's fascinating. I'm just seeing how long we've been on. So we've only been on an hour, so that's okay.
Yeah, we're good. So he's having the same observations. So
yes, I mean,
I have a barn. I'm in a short barn. I only want 6 stalls. That's enough to clean out. anyway, I have a gate at each end of my barn aisle, and when I work train horses, I turn them loose in here, and then I do a meditation. And that horse has the right to come in and join me or stand back. But when I'm working with horses, I don't talk because I'm here. You do that. And there's no emotion. It's complete presence, grounded. The concept of me, okay, is gone. And it's the awesome expression of an idea. And the idea is, can I please meet you? And that's when these horses will come up. I work with Mustangs. I go to the tip trainers and they'll give me these horses that are running them out of the round pen. And I'll just go and meditate. And I find it's kind of odd. It's like, again, it's like music. What key, what frequency of energy do I need to touch through my heart to come in and be a stillness so that I can reach and touch you? And there's no talking. And I have these Mustang trainers and they're going, how do you do that? How did you just walk in and put a rope around that horse and be able to touch him? Like, we've been working for 3 months and can't do that. Mm-hmm. So there's this natural, you have to be present. There's no ego. There's no emotion. And there is no intention.
Yes. Somebody told me that years ago.
And so that is where I start as a horse trainer. Not as I own you and we're going to get along. It's just, I'm nothing. Please fill me up. So that he's seeing it, and it's like magic. And people don't understand it because we need somebody to give us a recipe book, you know, and wow, it lights me up inside just to talk about it, because it's like where we are, we should be. That's what we are. It's this energy. It's amazing.
So I'm just in awe, because I've seen your work is in a lot bigger and a lot more depth to it. But I totally understand when you're explaining in my own version, and the stillness. I mean, sometimes I've been to see horses. When I first used to go visit horses, there was a lot of chit chat and people wanted to know what, you know, some funny stories, but a lot of the time it's not, and I say that it's not communication as verbal, it's just an energy exchange, and it's just, and then I'll be explaining, and I'll go, oh, right, I'm going to focus on the horse now. And I'll say, I'm sorry, this is a bit boring because there's nothing to see. And I think, oh, there's nothing for them to look at. And they'll go, no, it's fine. We can see something's going on from the horse. So they can, they know the horse. So they can visually see the horse is relaxing. And then the head, and they go into their own zone. And it is literally like the quietest place when you get that, and the stillness. And it's just pure love. It's such a beautiful place. And a few times when I've been, we have like summer camps. So we have people that go to camps, and they get to have a go at show jumping, dressage, and they build their confidence because they're doing it in a group and they get to camp out. Mm-hmm. So I was invited to do some taster sessions, which was, I'd never done that before, and I thought, I've no idea how this works, but it worked. It worked fine. It worked out how it's meant to work out. And one time, I thought, I went in to see the client, and I says, oh, why don't you have a go? Right, I'm going to do this, and then I want you to do what I've just done. Right. So she connected with the heart, hand on chest, and withers, and I says, right, just. Be quiet and still and just breathe and just go with the flow. And I says, do you mind if I film this? And I had my phone with me. She said, yeah, that's fine. And I filmed it. And it was just lovely to share, because for me, when I can teach another person that what I do is not a magical thing. It's something that we all possess, you know, just that little connection. It's something we all possess. When you see that with their own horse, my heart, it's such a beautiful thing, because I know what it feels like when I get that little connection with my own horse. Not when I'm doing my day-to-day stuff with her. I'm doing my day-to-day stuff. But when I'm doing nothing with her, we have that connection. It's beautiful. So to share that and to let somebody else experience it and think, oh, my goodness, that's beautiful. It's worth its weight in gold for me. And I love doing that. I absolutely love doing that.
And wouldn't it be nice if we could have awareness of that?
More
state of grace, or bringing the human to a place of what I call compassion, which is come past the I am, okay, and just be connected. I just think I keep going back into history. I've studied the history of the horse, the culture of the horse, and I studied the spiritual shamanic interactions where nature actually gave us the tools to survive, and we've been shut off, we've been disconnected, and we've lost this, and everybody has it, and you know, it kind of tears me apart sometimes. Because I like to go to horse shows, I like to participate, and it's extremely hard seeing and sensing and knowing that those animals are trying to get people's attentions and that the horses are talking among themselves. I'm not kidding you. I had a client who had a barrel racing horse out in Oregon, and we stood at the end of the bleachers with Niner, and Niner had gone through the training process, and he's watching all his friends come in and out of the ring, and you watch them and their ears are twitching, and he's yawning and looking and chewing. And he really talked to one of his friends who has really, really, really messed up. He had a tie down and the rider had a big bit on it, and the poor horse. And as soon as Niner saw that horse go and run his course, and the horse came out, Niner was flipping his ears in expression. And I just looked at Adria and I said, do you see that? Your horse is telling that horse that he acknowledges what that challenge was.
Yeah.
You know, and people miss it. And if we, I just don't know how to affect waking people up, but it's right now it's hard for me to go out and participate because I just you know, it's like when you know something, you just say here, but nobody wants it. You just kind of go, I'm on the right planet. Can I wake up tomorrow on a different planet, please? But there's a rhyme and a reason for everything, you know?
Yeah.
So I do what I do here, and I love having the ability to help people train horses that nobody understands. It's awesome.
You need to come to the UK.
Okay, well, line me up. As long as I don't have to have my COVID vaccine, I'll be good, because I am... No.
that's another subject altogether. So James, can you see the comments when I put a comment? Can you see that?
I can't really see it because it's so small on my
screen. Okay. So James just said, I totally get that. Being in the moment with them is where the energetic connection is made and blended. I have sat in the middle of a barn where I live with 5 New Forest ponies, and within 30 minutes, they all laid down around me.
Oh.
Feeling created in that moment is palpable.
Yes.
And healing. Yeah, brilliant.
That's magic, isn't it?
I'm in awe because my work is, I'm self-taught. We had a little conversation yesterday, didn't we? So I'm self-taught. I don't have any papers after my name.
Who cares?
And when I first used to, I don't care now, but when I first used to do this, and most of my clients are word of mouth, but when I first used to do this, Obviously, you can do courses and you can get accreditate, you know, you can get papers and things. And I thought, actually, I work my way intuitively. I don't want to learn another person's way at the moment, because I would be working their way. And actually, I need to be working the way that I've been shown for myself at the minute. So I didn't go down that route. And, right.
And then that's why we get along.
First of all, you know, is that because I don't want to sort? Yeah.
Here's the deal. If you standardize, if you just write one recipe, then you're only going to have one product.
Yes.
Now, your blood type is different than my blood type. Your bone density is different than my bone density. So we're going to pick up on different frequencies of information.
Yes. Oh, you frozen, Pat? You frozen again. Okay, I'm just going to put a comment there.
Okay, you know my way, but the universe is infinite energy, infinite consciousness.
Mm.
So this is why I chose not to have a degree. I could have several degrees. I just chose not to have them. I chose not to have a technical name for what I do, because I view myself and I view life as unlimited. And as soon as I'm given a label and a piece of paper, I'm limited.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's the way we're supposed to be operating. No. But then that's just my opinion, you know? Now, I've gone through a whole life, okay? And I can stand toe-to-toe with physicists. I actually have done that. We're talking about zero-point collapsing geometry, electronic geometry to create a zero-point. And yet I can go out and talk to a farmer about a damn cow that won't stand up. You know, I don't need a piece of paper to tell me that I know how to do something. And maybe it's standardized and it guarantees safety for people. But my father said this. He said, if you are in a free and fair marketplace, the marketplace will determine whether you are true or not, because if you're not good at what you do, you won't have a business.
That's very true.
So apprenticeship is good, but memorizing and trying to copy somebody else without putting your own expression into it,
yes,
is suppression.
Yeah.
I don't know how you suppress somebody's life force. I just think we're supposed to go.
definitely. Oh, dear. I'm really enjoying this. I'm just trying to see. So we've got, I am hoping that the people that you share this with are able to see it. I'm assuming that they must.
I'm hoping so, but if not, we'll get the money.
There are a few people on, because it tells me how many people are on, but. The only people that can ask questions are the ones that the real people that I know. So I think actually a friend of yours might have done.
Okay.
Wendy Scarborough.
Oh, Wendy, yes.
Yes.
So she's way over at the mouth of the Columbia River on the west coast of the United States.
Pat is the best, full of good knowledge. So that's what she's put.
I just finished. I helped her with her horse Sassy, and we did a rebirthing, but I didn't get connected quite well enough. But Wendy found the solution that she needed, which was really good. So,
and then we've got somebody called Robin Lawson.
Yes, Robin is in Ohio.
I am here. Oh, so this is my second time interviewing with live stream. I have a group, so I run a couple of groups, and it's intuitive based. And I again, that's something I've just started doing, but it's for people because I was guided. This is what I should be doing. So
you
I
have
just
aliens drop in, or like who else shows up?
So I use live stream so we can have like so people could come in and we can interact. So it's a little bit like Zoom, but for doing interviews. So this is my second time, and it's just getting people to be able to ask questions. But I know through Facebook they have to get permission from Facebook to show their profile.
Yeah, I do group get-togethers on Zoom, and people can just sign in and then we get going, and then I can open up all the different boxes and everybody starts talking, and it's just like, oh, all at once. It's awesome, and it is really hard as an interviewer, because you know you're sitting there and it's just like silence. I call it the wall of silence. You know, what do?
Yeah, I know. I'm finding it fascinating. I'm listening, but I'm trying to look for questions, and I'm wanting to share because I want you to get.
So they are chatting. So this is good.
So they are chatting, but we people sometimes watch afterwards, so I can share this afterwards, and people can watch it, and they can still comment. But I'm just thinking. I think we should have another session. I think because you've got so much information, and I think we've just touched on it, because it would be nice to give people something that they could maybe take away and practice, some little exercises, the intuitive side, or something that you can share. Do you think there's something that you could share tonight for them to have a go at?
I brought it up yesterday, and that is to do a meditation and invite your inner child to come out and play.
Okay. I know that one.
I may be expressive as a child, as a mature woman. Oh my God. You know, but that essence of who you are is still held in anywhere between 10 to 20% of your original cell structure.
Yes.
And the rest of it is like the invasion of the aliens, okay? The bacteria, the parasites, the fungus, God knows what else, okay? So inside of you is buried this essence of who you are originally or meant to be.
See, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I want to learn more about.
Well, when you go in and find that and start to use it to support it, then the gateways, doorways open up and you just walk through.
I think we should arrange for another time and talk about that more, because any work you do on yourself, it's going to help with your animals as well. So even if we don't get to your level of what, you know, in an ideal world.
Don't compare yourself. Here, wait a minute. Okay. Don't compare yourself to me. Okay. Honor you and take you and find yourself. That's all you need to do. I was recognized as an intuitive when I was born. Okay. I can tell you conversations while I was in my mother's womb. I don't expect anybody to be like me. There are tools that have been stripped away from our consciousness. But if we re-engage those tools, the authentic essence of who you are emerges. It is a sin in my world to compare yourself to anybody else, because you've already limited and defeated the core essence of your spirit. So love yourself. I love yourself to the point where you go into the bathroom, you look in the mirror, you look like, oh, and you start laughing. Do that. That's where it begins. With love.
I know. Okay?
So there's two sounds in the world. They say, om, okay, om, om. I can't sing. Okay, but you go, om, and you start toning. Okay. That's supposed to be the creative sound of life. Okay. I can back horses up saying, but you know what? I can make people sparkle when I laugh.
Yeah, that's all. Oh, laughter
so
is.
Laugh, it to me is as important as, I'm energetically serious. Okay. Well, I'm laughing and I'm connected in here and I'm having a darn good time. Okay. that's where my energy work starts.
I can see that, Pat. It's just coming out of the screen. It's just lovely. So Robin Lawson has just said, is this what I need to do with Ozzy just to be in the aisle with him and meditate and offer to introduce?
Okay, so, Robin, first of all. I love you, Robin. Don't think. Just go to the barn. Don't worry about having to fit into the rules, other than your horse does not have the right to tell you what to do all the time. Okay? And start laughing. Just go to the barn. Don't worry about what your friends are thinking. Don't worry about feeding your horse treats. Just stand there and start laughing and see what he does.
Right, so we'll see what his answer is. There's Paula Boscher. I hope I pronounced that right.
Paula's from New Zealand. Talking to New Zealand today.
I'm here from New Zealand. Hi, Pat. So she's saying hi, Pat. she's saying hi. That's great. Got a couple of more people. I'm just seeing what other comments. Oh, yeah. So Martha says we are all different and have so much to give. She won't mind me saying, but she lost her son a year ago, and that has opened her up to a whole new world. But she connects with him, and it's so, yeah.
She's here.
She's here. She'll be very pleased to say that. She's a very empathic lady. Can you feel it? Can you feel the energy?
Okay. When I say I'm a universal, intuitive universal. I'm running open almost all the time, and it's really hard for me to go out in, like, this is great. It's very hard for me to come off my land because I have done a lot of energy frequency work to level and balance the energy running through the property. That's another whole show. And then when I go off property, it's just like I have to close down, because when I get in around different people, I just get all this energy feedback off of their aura. But I can call things, and never mind. People energy comes to me. Things happen. Oh boy. See, most people live their lives in the concept of the physical. And I don't limit myself to the physical reality unless I'm actually interacting directly with people. But here on the farm, most of my interactions, they may be in a physical realm, but the majority of them are energy-based concepts of ideas, moving energy, folding time so that I can resolve traumas either here or for somebody somewhere else. So when you speak about a person that's graduate, I call it graduating. Okay. When a person graduates, you call them forward like that, because that was from our heart.
Yes.
That just pulls, because I'm working with an EMF field coming off a cell phone, which is going through a cell tower that's going to a satellite and bouncing back to you. So you think it goes through a lot of people's energy streams? Like I can call in all kinds of stuff. That's why I went and studied with shamanic peoples, because it's not always love and light. Okay. There is darkness. And part of my awareness is I see both sides and I have to work with both sides.
Yeah.
And it's not a bad thing either.
No.
And that's another whole show.
Oh, we've got quite a few. I can see a monthly interview session coming on.
I work with horses and I've introduced my expression of understanding. And people have a hard time with it, but it's okay to ask me to come out to a haunted house and talk to whoever's living there, you know? It's like, okay, whatever.
Can I just give you a little message? Because as you were talking earlier, but I didn't want to interrupt, your horses, but not just your horses that are there now, ones that are no longer there, they just sent me a communal message, and it was just so they're almost like a semicircle behind you and you're in the middle of the circle, and it was we support her because she supports us. But those words don't give the depth of that feeling.
I know the feeling.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm just explaining to the people that are watching.
Yes,
the depth of that. It was just no emotion, but pure, yes, and support. But
here we go again.
As I'm saying that, so this is how I'm picking up. As I'm saying that, so it's a semicircle. So if I do, I'm going to draw a picture. You'll have to excuse my picture, my little person. So that's my picture. Hang on. That's my picture. That's you.
Yes.
And that's the horses behind. But as I say that, and this is really weird because it's like a kid's picture. So that is connections out to others. And then from that, it's almost like more. So it's the web. And can you remember we was talking yesterday and you said something
and I said
a bit like fascia, but the earth's energetic web is like that. I can see it now.
In my intuitive horsemanship course, in the first level, I teach people to actually sit in the heart of the earth and use that network to broadcast, to amplify. And so yes, what you're picking up on is very valid. All the horses come around. They're standing here, like it's just like all around me. I made a commitment to 21 horses. Make me cry. These horses or expose them to unnatural environments. I turned them out into 52 acres and allowed them to run free, never to have shoes, no more drugs, no more having to carry riders unless they wanted to. I straightened their bodies. They were my university professors. I learned more from those 21 horses than you can find in any book on horses. Yes. And I made a commitment to those horses to give them a life home. And I'm down to the remaining last five or six horses out of the 21. The average horse, I just lost two horses within a week. They were partners. They were both thoroughbreds. Those horses, one was 32 and the other was 34.
Oh, wow.
And I've had them. I had them for most of their adult life. You know, and those horses should have been dead at age 12 and 15.
Hmm.
You know, so that's the kind of commitment we have here. And it's serious to me because it's not just a business. It could be a business. I'm supposed to run it as a business, okay? And I'm down to it is what it is. And I always have my bills paid. My horses are always fed. Something or somebody out there always shows up to fill in the gaps. And yeah. So you learn to go and live, okay, and not worry.
If you're doing what you should be doing and your passion, then
it fills in.
Yeah.
And it's hard for some people to understand, but I have a great husband.
You told me about him.
Where are we going? Because he'll come in, he's gone for 28 days, and he'll come in and I say, yeah, we're going to Ohio for 4 days next week. Are you good with that? Oh yeah, I'll drive, you know. And he's at the beginning, I think he thought I was a little far-fetched. Then he started to see the horses change. And then he went, oh, wait a minute, she's doing the same thing to me. And it's working. So he's helped me financially keep things together. And he helps me work on some of the, I get stallions in here and some, okay. To be honest with you, some horses that have had it up to here with people. And he makes sure that I come out of the barn in one piece. Okay.
Absolutely. That's important.
You know, so, you know, mostly I'm here by myself, which I absolutely love because I'm intuitive and I don't have all that energetic noise from other people. I think maybe that's why, like, a lot of the guru people were hermits, because when you start opening up and you're open most of the time, it's hard to socialize. So yeah, I'm a hermit, but I love it. I love my life.
You live it. Yeah. And I can see that. I mean, anybody watching this will be able to see that you have such an enthusiasm. I feel that we've only just scratched. And the subjects that you've talked about, I'm gonna go back and watch this and just make notes, because from that there's questions that I wanted to ask, but I want you to feel comfortable and just carry on talking as well.
Well, if anybody has questions, you're welcome either to come through you, or if you are interested, we have a very little group of very amazing people who are interested in developing their intuitive and energetic awareness around horses so that they can teach their children and to have an impact on the horse environment that they're working and living in. Mm-hmm. And then some of these people might go on to actually be animal communicators or people that are able to move energy and help other people understand. So that we do these little Zoom classes, and I have meditations that I've put together, and we send out meditation links to the students for the school. And I called what we're teaching as intuitive horsemanship, it's in light hand. So in the light.
Yes.
And which comes off of the old word for enlightened, which was enlighten, which started with an O, but it was enlightenment, the energy.
That's
see, I didn't even get into the part where I got kissed by lightning.
Oh, do you want to share that?
Enlightened.
Do you want to share that? Do you want to share that story about the lightning? And then we'll
Sure. Story. Okay, see this? I don't know if you can see it. Right. Wow. I got backwards. This streak here, that's a lightning streak. Okay. So let's see. I was walking. The thunderstorm had gone by. I had been in the barn and I had my duck boots on, my wellies, and I'm walking back to the house and I went to reach for a little, you know, a little gate, garden gate to walk back from the barn to the house. And I went to reach for that. And I have no recollection of how I ended up with my boots standing at the gate and I'm about 15 to 20 feet back towards the barn smelling. So I had lightning indirectly either hit the fence line or hit the ground near me, and it literally blew me out of my boots. So that kind of changed my energy field. And then in 2012, I'm standing on my front porch videotaping a really bad windstorm, and it was pouring rain. And I had like a aluminum storm door and it was kind of blocked. So it was open. And a ball lightning, I actually have a video. It comes down. I slow-mo'd the video because I wanted to see what lightning looked like. And it just looks like this ball and it comes right at me and it goes right past me and it hits the grounding rod for the house that's at the corner of our porch. Need to move that. And then it bounced back onto the aluminum storm door. But when the shock wave came, it moved the rock that was holding the door closed and the door swung at me. And I put my thumb on the door. And I'm going to tell you what, it was the worst electric fence shock I have ever experienced.
Oh, I don't like electric shock.
That one bounced me out of my body and put me back in my body. And I can tell you this little story. I went after that. Like, I didn't think anything of it. It's just like, okay, I got shocked. And I went back up to the barn to clean up the mess because the water had flooded into the aisles. And I went to push the broom. I'm like, I keep coming to consciousness sitting on the stool. I'm like, what am I doing on the stool? I have this intention of sweeping the barn floor. I go and do that two or three times. And every time I'm right back on that stool and I come to consciousness. So this last time I said, oh, I'm going to pay attention. And I started to sweep and I got two pushes of the broom. And it was like two, I don't know if it was my body and my higher self talking. Or an angel or something, but I got told, my body part told my conscious, my intellectual part, you're hurt and you need to sit down and do nothing. And I heard it as clear as day. So at that moment, my consciousness or my physical and higher self were split and trying to figure out how to talk. The time when I got blown out of my boots, I became extremely energetic, which is why I think I was able to download and figure out half of the things I figured out about the energy system of rebirthing horses. Because what I do is not written in any book. I get lightning storms in my head, I guess, kind of like Nikola Tesla. Okay. And I get these downloads. A lot of people get them. It's just like, it's like a internal light and you just get all this information. And it's not like one idea. It's like flashcards.
Not yet. Lots of information.
And it just comes out. And then it just got into, I have some bizarre stories I can tell you. But I think that changed part of the harmonics of my energy, my aura. And that's why I don't want anybody to be like me, because I don't expect anybody to go through lightning. I was kissed, not directly, not scarred, okay, but it hit the ground twice in front of me and bounced up. Mm. So whether it's the static charge coming off the electrical field, I don't know, but it definitely blew me out of my boots. I couldn't do filing. I could pick up a piece of paper and like a bill, a bill, and I normally would put it in a file. I couldn't pick the bill up and put it in a file. I couldn't file paperwork.
Yeah.
I couldn't do math in my head until 2017. I caught myself starting to do math in my head.
Hmm.
That's how open.
Right.
But it. I could move energy. I could manifest. It was just wow.
Yeah.
So I'm now coming back. I'm actually getting smaller and fitting more into the physical realm, so that I can talk to you guys. Isn't that awesome?
Oh, do you know what, Pat? I've had an amazing evening listening to you. We've had a few viewers, but I think we could have probably had more. It depends how it works. But I'm going to share this video with you, and then you can post it to wherever.
Okay.
But we'll have to arrange. Let's see. I think. Oh, James just says, I completely understand what you are saying. I've had two near-death experiences, one as a child and one as a young adult, and I found myself seeing and knowing things about cellular healing, but have not read or researched it or understood how I knew. What you say makes sense to her. So that's from Jane. And Martha's had a total out-of-body experience.
Yeah. It changes your thinking quite a bit. And maybe, I don't know, like I keep saying, I don't live with stress and I don't live with fear. I just don't.
That's a beautiful place to be. I'm still working with that.
So the gift is to understand it's okay. And just find the giggly part of you and come out, because the rest of us just want to play. I just want to go play. Can we play horses?
I'd love to play horses. I'd love to play horses. Just another comment. Pat, you are such an inspiration and I've so enjoyed listening to you. Thank you very much. So that's from Jane.
Thank you, Jay. And pleasure. My joy.
So people will be able to watch this afterwards, and I'm sure there'll be more comments. But I think so. Would you like to do this again sometime, Pat? Would you like to do another one? You've frozen.
Oh, sure. I enjoy sharing.
Because I'd like to.
On my back.
Yeah, you're back. Yeah, I'd like to know more. I'd like to know more about your shamanic, how you got into the shamanic side and what you've learned from that. The bits that you're allowed to say. Oh, Anna says this. Anna Hickman says this has been brilliant and very interesting. Oh, I'm pleased, Anna, that you got to see this. So I'm going to write a list, because I think tonight was just about to get to know a little bit about you.
I'm just going to tell you the way I perceive things. Don't assume it's right. Okay. No, but it's how I perceive things.
How you perceive, yeah.
And I'm always available to answer questions. Mm-hmm. And I sincerely am here to help people discover the energetic potential of being unlimited. That's what it's, you know, we could talk about horses. Yeah. They're already potentially unlimited. We just limit them. You know, so yes. I'd be love to come and chat again when it's a good time. And people can ask questions and send them to you, or they can send them to me at the Balanced Horse Project. Mm. I have a page on Facebook, or I Pat Cleveland is on Facebook. Maybe we can get together and answer questions. That would be fun.
That would be fun. That would be brilliant. Maybe do it on maybe a weekend it'd be nice to do it in the daytime, but I don't know what time it'll work out with you.
Well, we just have to see what directions we want to take and develop the next conversation. Maybe we could take a series of questions on one topic and put them together and talk about that topic, and then take another group of questions that takes us on another journey and just build it from there. How's that?
I'm so excited. Oh, thank you so much, Pat, for giving up your time tonight. Oh, yeah, this afternoon where you are tonight here. I hope everybody's enjoyed tonight's session, tonight's interview. It's because I'm wanting to pay attention and really listen, and I did listen, but I'm also wanting to make sure that I can see what's going on there. I would have liked to have shared it more, but then I felt like I was being rude and not paying attention to you.
Okay, so this is the deal. Let me talk. You help people by scanning what's down, and if you need to, just ask. And teamwork helps expand the world. You know, that's the way it goes.
Oops, where have you gone? There we go. Absolutely.
You just push buttons, right? Just get rid of Pat.
Josie Whitman said it's been great. Thank you for sharing. And Maria Crane, so enjoyed this. What a lovely soul. Pat is amazing. So, and Martha, another amazing soul. Thank you, Pat. So the feedback.
Great.
I felt like, you know, when you want to get so much information out and you go blah, you go blah. And absorb it. So I'm hoping that came across okay for everybody else, because I certainly enjoyed it.
It was fun. So good. We're going to do it again when everybody says okay. Yes. And it was absolutely a delight. And I'm so happy that people in your neighborhood are interested. And I'm so glad Josie from outside of Atlanta, Georgia, tuned in, and everybody else that I was able to find the link and make it work from the Ballast Horse Project. Thanks for the support, and keep tuning in and seeing what Ronnie can do with other interviews, because I think she's going the right direction. It's good. We need interactions like this. It's
definitely
really good.
Maybe do it through it. Because I'll have to share the link from the YouTube, because that's more of an open platform as well.
So yes.
People that are on Facebook can maybe view from there. So thank you very, very much. Have a lovely day, Pat. I hope you're not too tired after chatting away.
I gotta go feed horses and get them settled. Actually, I have a horse leaving at 5:00, so I gotta go bring him in. He's been out running around, he's a bit sweaty, so clean up his owner, you know.
Well, go and have fun. Go have fun with that inner child. And
all right.
I'll be in touch with you privately and just to say thank you properly. But thank you so much.
All right. It's a joy and a pleasure. Everyone go on and have a great and wonderful day or evening. And we'll talk soon.
Thank you, Pat. Bye. Oh, wow. She's such an amazing lady. I hope everybody enjoyed that. There was no structure. It was just go with the flow. And she's certainly got bags and bags of energy, bags of it, and so much information, so much knowledge that we just scratched on the surface. That was really amazing. I'm still digesting quite a few things. But okay, I'm going to go now because I feel like I'm waffling. Thank you for attending. Thank you for watching. Thank you for whoever added comments. And thank you. You're welcome. Thank you for joining. Oh, bless you. You're welcome, Anna. Thank you. And I could have talked for ages, but it would have been nice to have some more of perhaps colleagues and friends. But we've had a few, which is good. Good. Okay. Right. I'm definitely going. I'm going to go have a glass of water and a cup of tea. Something sweet after all that. That was so good. So good. Okay. Have a lovely evening wherever you are in the world. Thank you for stopping by. Thank you for listening and just sharing a few moments with myself and Pat. And I definitely look forward to our next get together and see what we're going to talk about then. My cheeks hurt from smiling so much. Bless her. Take care and thank you very much. Bye for now. You've been listening to Ronnie King at Equine Voices. Thank you for listening and speak to you soon.